Planner Palooza is back. If you have not attended our Planner Palooza, then you definitely don't want to miss this. If you've been looking for a sign to help you get your business organized and stop creating every single thing from scratch, then this is it. Planner Palooza is a 4-day challenge where I'm going to do free workshops for you that would help you to really get some serious systems in place. Day one, we're talking about systems you need to automate and grow your business. Day two, we're going to get into knowing your numbers, how high earning business owners track and manage income even when they don't feel like they're good at numbers. On day three, we're tackling planning a weekly work schedule to get more done without long hours. And on day four, we're talking about working less stress, how to build a team and stop doing everything yourself. All the Planner Palooza magic takes place June 3rd to the 6th with workshops every day. To get all of the details, you just have to sign up. In order to do that, go to dailysuccessroutine.com, click the Planner Palooza button to get all of the information and RSVP now. Join Planner Palooza so that you can set up a process for onboarding your clients, managing communication, and getting paid. Know where your business stands financially and stop wondering if or when the money's coming in. Finally, plan your color-coded calendar and priority projects and focus more on being the CEO of your life and business. To join Planner Palooza, go to dailysuccessroutine.com and click the link in the menu for Planner Palooza to RSVP today and get all of the details. I will see you there.
Daily success, plan a week ahead, be excellent. Moves, achieve your goals, transform your life, one routine at a time. Daily success, go and get yours, you better go get yours.
Welcome to the Daily Success Show. I'm your host, Jamila Payne, and I'm on a mission to help millions of women take control of their work life. So if you want to be more productive, increase your earnings, and have time for self-care, then you're in the right place. If you have multiple ideas that you would like to make happen, this episode is perfect for you. I've met so many creatives and entrepreneurs doing life-changing work, but they can't get significant traction because they're trying to juggle too many things at once. Does the idea of putting one of your dreams on hold so that you can give 100% focus to another make you frustrated? Well, then this episode is going to show you how you can work on multiple projects simultaneously without looking like you're all over the place. Have you ever been at a networking event and you have someone who introduces themselves as a speaker, author, writer, coach, and ballet dancer, and you're like, what? Well, today is all about creating a portfolio career. It's a way to align what you're doing to a bigger mission so that you can create a clear brand message for yourself and people know exactly what to come to you for. What is a portfolio career? Well, it's a niche career path that has multiple verticals that are united by a single purpose or mission. Think of like a good stock portfolio. You have small companies, mid-sized companies, large companies. You're essentially diversifying your investment to reduce risk and potentially get a better return. Well, a career portfolio lets you apply this concept to your life. So here's how today's episode is going to flow. I'm going to give you a sneak peek inside of our Achievers Club with an interview from Tiffany Dufu, who served as an Achievers Club mentor. Tiffany is the author of Drop the Ball. She is the founder and CEO of Crew, and she is the former chief leadership officer at Levo. I did an amazing interview with Tiffany for our Achievers Club members that I'm going to share a piece of that interview with you today. I want you to listen to the interview very carefully. And as you do, I want you to think about what is in your portfolio. What are the things that you're working on? Are you working a 9-to-5, running a business, being a part of professional associations or organizations, volunteering at church or on a nonprofit board? You might have one or all of those things that are an active part of your career portfolio. After the interview, I'm going to walk you through the process of setting up your very own portfolio career. There is an action guide for today's episode that will take you through this process step by step, and you can download it if you go to shows.dailysuccessroutine.com and go to episode in the show notes, hit that download button to get your action guide now. All right, so let's jump in. What you're gonna find in this interview is Tiffany really has an amazing perspective in her approach to both work and life, how she has managed her career. It's so insightful. She's just one of those women who is like your big sister in your head, guiding you along the way. And I'm so excited to have had the opportunity to connect with her on the speaking circuit. So we've both been speaking at some large women's conferences together. And I just want to share her light and insight with you today. So you're really going to enjoy this interview. So let's jump into it with Tiffany Dufu, author of Drop the Ball. Tiffany Dufu, who is author of Drop the Ball. So thank you so much, Tiffany, for making the time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to go ahead and jump right in. Start off, I thought this would be kind of a great way to introduce you as well, to talk about your philosophy of a portfolio career, what the things are that you're working on right now, and kind of how you came to adopt that way of operating in your career.
Oh, sure. So I already talk to you about this, Jamila? Is that how you knew to ask me about this? I am a Gen Xer who, up until about 5 years ago, had only worked for either baby boomers or members of the silent generation. And I was executing what I felt was a very traditional career, meaning that I would take all of my gifts, talents, skills, abilities, I would invest them in one brand, 24/7, sweat, blood, and tears. I would negotiate a salary and a title. And once I achieved a certain set of deliverables, I would just ask for a bigger title and a bigger salary. And my plan was to execute that strategy. Maybe at some point I might move to a different brand, a different company or organization. But basically, I would continue to do that until I retired. That's what I thought a career was. A number of years ago, I went to work for a company called Levo, which is the fastest growing network for millennial professionals. It's a company that was founded by millennials. It's run by millennials. My boss is, she turned 30 this year.
Oh, wow.
And I've been working for her for like 5 years. So she was like all of, 25 when I first started working for her. And one of the beautiful things about Levo, first of all, I've learned so much from millennials. They've changed my life. But one of the things that millennials changed about my life was my perspective and my lens on what a career even is. So now at Levo, I apply my gifts, talents, skills, abilities in whatever way is going to, yes, achieve results for Levo, but also in whatever way is going to elevate and amplify my own platform that is going to build my own financial freedom and economic stability. So Levo encourages a side hustle. And I invest my gifts, talents, skills, abilities in whatever way, most importantly, is going to ensure that I've created impact in the world at the end of my time on this planet. So right now, my portfolio career, which is what I would call now what I do instead of my old dinosaur model, involves four different verticals. The first one is that I have my job as chief leadership officer at Levo. My second vertical is that I'm a public speaker. I have a public speaking practice, and I do a bit of consulting with Fortune 500s to support them in retaining and advancing their women, but less so of that now because I just don't have as much bandwidth. The third part of my vertical is being an author. I sold a book in 2014 that was released earlier this year that I've been doing a lot of evangelizing around. And the fourth part of my vertical are my nonprofit boards. I'm on the board of Simmons College and Girls Who Code, and it means a tremendous amount to me because I spent most of my career in the nonprofit sector, but technically I'm not in it professionally. And so I love giving back to organizations that I think are really doing really great work with girls and young women in particular. But the bottom line, the overarching theme is that my life's work is advancing women and girls. That's pretty much why I'm on the planet. So on any given day, any one of those verticals is laddering up to me, ensuring that I am doing right by the world. And I have a very strong sense of what's on my tombstone. I'm just kind of project managing my life backwards through one of those verticals each and every day.
That's awesome. How did you gain your, I mean, obviously it just takes a lot of time, but I mean, how did you test out gaining clarity about what your verticals would be? I think a lot of us high achieving women feel challenged by so many opportunities and things that we could do, or just things that you might be passionate about, right? But they don't all fit on your plate at the same time. So how did you come to the selection of those verticals?
Yeah, so some of it was happenstance, but looking back, I think there could have been and is a more strategic way to curate your portfolio if that's what you're interested in. I think that one way is to really think about your highest and best use. And when I talk about our highest and best use, I mean a combination of what do you do very well with little effort, largely because you've probably done it a lot, combined with what are only the things that you can do that you can't delegate to other people that really can become a part of your access to the market. So we have employers because they serve as middlemen for us being compensated for our labor and for our talents. But one of the things that I discovered in working with millennials is that if you have a gift or a talent that the market wants access to directly, you no longer need a middleman. And that was how I began to build out my portfolio. One of the things that I do very well with very little effort is standing in front of a group of people and compelling them to take action on the things that I care about through the power of storytelling. My father was a minister. I probably would have been a pastor if I hadn't have grown up in such a sexist church. I essentially made feminism my ministry. You know, my public speaking practice is very much rooted in my passion for women's empowerment and women's leadership, but also very much tied to one of the things that I do very well with very little effort. So, you know, I think part of deciding, well, what should I be focused on in terms of my portfolio, if that's what you're in, if that's the kind of career that you're interested in curating, I think is very much related to what are the things that you do that you can really achieve impact in. And there's a few exercises that you can take yourself through to figure out what those things might be. One of the most powerful ones for me was an exercise I did years ago in which I asked a lot of people in my life to talk to me about one thing, which is a time when you've experienced me at my best. So I went to a number of people and I said, you know, I'm doing this exercise, this project. I was wondering if I could have, you know, 15, 20 minutes of your time. You've known me for either a long time or you knew me in this context. Can you just talk to me about a time when you've experienced Tiffany at her best? And then I was quiet and I recorded all of the answers, either with my phone or I tried to transcribe them. And at the end of the exercise, I interviewed probably between 15 and 20 people. I printed all of the responses. I laid them out on the floor and I just started circling the words and the phrases that were in common and in sync with one another. Mm-hmm. And what emerged was essentially my brand, right? There's a common experience that people have had with us. Even when we were in kindergarten, this Tiffany that you see right now, she's got different hairstyles. She, you know, she's grown, she's mature, but this is the same Tiffany that was in kindergarten, right? Mm. Right. Practicing, you know, playing school. And I was always the teacher.
Right.
So, you know, that was a really helpful exercise for me. You know, if you're someone who's like, well, I'm not quite sure like what it is that I've always done, or how is it that I can maximize, you know, who I am in order to figure out what my portfolios might be, that piece of it, was really a helpful exercise.
Let's say for someone that is pursuing this career portfolio approach to their life, some of the women are working while also pursuing their business, their entrepreneurial vertical. I would love it if you could speak to thinking through the financial side of this, because I know financial freedom is really important to you too. And I think what happens is that sometimes we end up selecting a vertical not only based on desire, but based on need. And so I really want to help women to think about, how do you choose those verticals? How do you design a financial framework that works, and not get into selecting things based on a financial need, but that aren't really taking you in your directions? But knowing that you need to obviously care for your family, be able to, you know, pay your rent or your mortgage or whatever you have to take care of. So how do we approach that financially?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think it's a particularly important question for women of color, because we often feel the brunt and the pressure of being financially accountable, not just to ourselves, but to other people in our lives. And I can tell you, as, you know, a busy working mom, that being a mother fueled my ambition and my commitment and my desire to earn money. Even though I was married at the time, my money and my man are two separate things. I've always felt that a woman should always earn enough money to care for herself and for her children, regardless of what her husband was doing. And that came, to be honest, out of my own experience with my own mother, who was in a very difficult financial circumstance after my parents divorced. So that's really important to me. There's a few things. One is, part of the reason why I start with your highest and best use and really understanding what you do very well with very little effort is because there's a level of efficiency that has to happen in you choosing your vertical and your different pieces of your portfolio or what businesses you might engage in. Take public speaking. If that's not something that you have gotten consistent feedback that you do really well and really effectively, or if you begin, you know, down that venture or down that road and you're not gaining traction, it may be that it requires too much of you in terms of either your personality, your agency, who you are, your gifts, your talents, for you to make enough money for that to be a viable part of your portfolio or your business. Okay. So part of the reason why I chose that as a vertical is because I can go from city to city to stage with not that much practice, right? Or a lot of effort or energy, and I can earn that speaking fee, and it allows me the bandwidth to do other things. If I had to practice each time, study each time, if I had to develop and create new content each time, it may not be a very efficient business. So I think that's why starting with kind of what your highest and best use is, because we're all talented. One of the things I don't do very well at all is any kind of design, creating any kind of visual assets. There are some people who are really good at that, so that's not a part of it. But the other piece is, what do you need from your family from a financial perspective in order for you to pursue your dreams and your portfolio career? And how can you research or figure out ways to get that in advance of you having to put out the work? Okay, so a good example of that is, I was really interested in writing a book. Okay, I was also interested in writing my own book. I love words. I love curating words. I'm a strong writer. But the challenge of publishing a book is, if you want to write it yourself, that's a lot of time, right? You got to sit in coffee shops. There's research that needs to be done. And my time is my money. And the income that I earn helps to pay my kids' tuition. It helps to keep a roof over our head. So I did not have the luxury of saying, oh, I'm just going to spend a year sitting in coffee shops, you know, writing my book and then shopping it. So I had to figure out, how can I get paid, right, in advance of me writing a book, to write a book. Okay? And when you have that kind of economic imperative, you research, you ask all kinds of questions that could help you. Long story short, I figured out that if you're a nonfiction writer, meaning I'm not a novelist, that you can actually secure a deal with the publisher to get an advance on a book that you haven't written based on a proposal. And I went through the process of acquiring an agent, of coming up with different concepts that I thought would do well on the market, of generating an auction so that I could get what I needed to get financially in order to give me the bandwidth to be able to sit in coffee shops and actually write a book. One of the things that's important to me and my family is health insurance. So part of the reason why I've always had at least one employer, right, why I never went completely entrepreneurial is because I really like the benefits and need the benefits that having an actual employer provides that would cost me a lot more money if I was to go out into the market, even though we do have, you know, options now like Obamacare, which of course is now in jeopardy. But, you know, all that being said, that was a financial imperative for me to make sure that my family's health insurance was covered. So, you know, I use very practical, inputs into the decisions to figure out how can I earn the money that I need to earn to cover the costs that I need to cover for my family, also strategically taking risks. So I think the scariest part, it's easy to say, I need to keep this employer in some way, shape, or form because I need the health insurance. I need to figure out how to get a book deal. It's another thing to do the risk-taking piece of what do I need to make an investment in? What do I need to put out capital for that I'm taking a risk because I don't know whether or not that's actually going to secure me more resources on the back end of it, but is well worth it. And a good example of that is several years ago, I decided to hire an assistant. And, you know, an assistant is a cost that you pay, you know, out of your pocket. I had my public speaking practice, and the bet that I was making is that if I hire someone who can help me negotiate and coordinate the logistics of my client deals with my clients, that would free me up to be able to market myself more, to be able to speak more, to be able to improve the quality of the product so that I can earn more money from my public speaking practice. But I'm going to have to risk the cost of the assistant before I actually see the return on that investment. It was one of the best business professional moves that I ever made because I was able to focus on the marketing parts of the business. I was able to say yes to more contracts. I was able to secure more money because it turns out when you're not negotiating for yourself directly and somebody else is doing it on your behalf, that there's all kinds of reasons why that's much more helpful. So those are some of the factors that have gone into my decision making. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's very helpful. I think the thing that you hit on that I love is talking about the willingness to take the risk. And I think that's one significant part of it. And I think there's a second significant part of it, which is the mindset. So there is a certain mindset that existed within you to say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and earn this money first. So could you talk about how, as women, we can do that personal development work around our mindset, our confidence, and ability to be able to go for the things that we really want.
Mm-hmm. I think you've really struck on something, you know, important. The mindset is fundamentally one of value, right? I recognize my value in the marketplace. And once you get even a whiff of evidence of your value, it's very hard to go back to a mindset of I need the security of an employer, for example, that's paying me full time, or I need the security of that direct deposit into my account. When you get just a taste of the value of yourself in the market, if you took out the middleman. So there are a number of things. One, I have named the voice in my head Cynthia. We all have that voice in our head that's telling us, you're not good enough. You would be crazy to do that. You can't afford to take that risk. There are too many people relying on you. If you fail, you will have disappointed yourself and other people. In my personal case, I will have disappointed the entire Black race. Hmm. You know, like standing on my shoulders. If I mess up, they ain't gonna never hire another Black person again. So all of that, I have to really take and process, but really talk back to her. And my Cynthia is very powerful and insidious. Literally, I woke up this morning and I hadn't even opened my eyes. And she was like, you're not going to go to the gym again. You know, you talked about the importance of going to the gym, of like moving your body in your book, and you're not going to go again. Right. Mm-hmm. As if like I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
And I'm just like, I just flew in from Kalamazoo, Michigan, like last night. I have a whole day ahead of me. I've been on book tour, Cynthia. Like, give me a break. You sit up in my head eating nachos all day, 1 mile in your life, and you're already making me feel bad. And I haven't even opened my eyes today. And it's Friday, Cynthia. You know, I haven't heard from her today. So I had to kind of put her in check. But I think that's really important, is to, you know, because that's part of the mindset piece of it. I think another thing is to figure out who your tribe is and to surround yourself with people who can hold you accountable for your ambition and for the things that you put forth into the world. When I said that I wanted to write a book, it was several years ago, and I spoke that ambition to a group of my sage mentors, that's what I call them, and one of them was a woman named Reshma Saujani. Every time I saw Reshma for like a year and a half after that, you know, bar conversation, she would be like, so when is the book coming out? So what progress have we made on the book? And I would say, oh, you know, I said that, but you know, I don't have time. You know, I have like all of these other commitments, you know, I can't afford to write a book. I have all these other things on my plate. Every time I would see her, she would remind me. One time, it was unfortunately at her birthday party, which, you know, you're supposed to be nice to somebody at their birthday party. She came at me again about, when am I going to do this book? And I was really frustrated. And at the time, Reshma didn't have any kids. And I was like, Reshma, you have no idea like what I do every day. I have told you before, I don't have time to write a book. I have blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. She just let me do my little rant. Then she looked at me and she looked at me straight in my eyes and she said, I think that chapter one should be about why women don't have time to write books. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Let me write this down. This girl is not gonna like let me hear the end of it.
Right.
So, you know, I would say in terms of developing that mindset, you need help. You know, I was on the launch team for Lean In. I believe in leaning in, but we were never meant to lean in alone. We need the scaffolding. So if you don't have a group of people, I love women, so I think it's best if it's a group of women for whom you're being vulnerable with, you're sharing your ambitions with, you're saying, I'm terrified because I can't afford to leave my full-time job, but I've got this side hustle that's really important to me that I think is really important. How can we? And that they're also of the mindset and are in the frame of mind and the frame of their reality that they're also wanting to do big things, and you guys can support one another transactionally, I think it's going to be very different. So name the voice in your head, start talking back to her, get your crew, get your tribe, get your sage mentors, whatever you, your posse, whatever you want to call them, and start really naming your ambition. And I think that that's really, those are a couple of really important first steps, and certainly has been very helpful for me. Mm.
Today's episode of the Daily Success Show is brought to you by my free masterclass. Managing work along with running a business and raising little people can be a lot for any woman. It's completely normal that you feel overwhelmed. To accomplish the bigger dreams that you have for yourself means learning a different approach to managing the work week that doesn't leave you stressed and feeling like you didn't properly manage your time or get enough done. To learn how to get control of your life, join my free masterclass. Make more money and have more time. Create your powerful work routine without stressing, wasting time and filling all over the place. Just go to dailysuccess.co/work smarter to RSVP today. That's dailysuccess.co/work smarter. So what did you think of that interview? So much gold, right? I hope you were taking notes. So let's jump in step by step. Grab your notebook if you haven't already. So step one is to make a list of everything that you're already involved in. Then I want you to add any items that you want to be doing, but you have not allocated any resources towards them yet. And when I say resources, I mean time or money. Step two is that you're going to align your portfolio to a mission or purpose that is bigger than you. If you don't already have that mission or purpose, then I want you to develop it. This would be your personal mission statement. Now, don't get hung up on this. Creating your personal mission is not about figuring out who you are. It's a process of remembering. Like, this is who you've always been. It's something that's inside of you. It's what you do naturally. It's the work that you want to create in the world. And it's more important that you plant your seed in something and let it grow than it is to have it be perfect. So the only way to evolve through figuring out or determining if you're working on the right mission is to test what you believe it is and make changes and adjustments as you go. Like, you will become clear, but only through the process of taking action. So there's three questions that you can ask yourself. A mission, a really good mission, answers three questions. The first is, what do you do? The second is, who do you do it for? And the third is, how do you do it? All right, so I want to give you some examples of mission statements, personal missions from, so the first is Amanda Steinberg, who is the, founder of dailyworth.com, who is the founder of dailyworth.com, which she recently sold, and author of the book Worth It. Amanda says that her mission is to use my gifts of intelligence, charisma, and serial optimism to cultivate the self-worth and net worth of women around the world. Oprah Winfrey, founder of OWN and the Oprah Winfrey Network, to be a teacher and to be known for inspiring my students to be more than they thought they could be. And myself, Jamila Payne, CEO at Daily Success Routine, to empower people to achieve financial freedom through lifestyle design and business ownership, and to be a living example of it. Okay, so that's the mission piece. Step three is to evaluate. So as Tiffany mentioned, you want to ask several friends, when was a time that they experienced you at your best? Once you have all of those interviews, I would recommend recording them so that you can get them transcribed. Go back, circle the words and phrases that are similar, and that will help inform your brand. Then you want to ask yourself, okay, well, which of these things in my portfolio are underperforming? Which things are high performing? And which things need investment? Now, I want to share one of my favorite examples of a person who I believe has a really awesome portfolio career, and that's Candace Kumai. She is known as a wellness expert, and her mission, as she states it, is to help you live the most amazing feel-good life. She refers to herself as the golden goddess of wellness, and she focuses on wellness inspired by Japanese and Asian culture overall. She's written several books, including Clean Green Eats, Clean Green Drinks, Pretty Delicious, Cook Yourself Sexy, and Cook Yourself Thin. She's a contributor to magazines like Bon Appetit, Shape, Yoga Journal. She does consulting for food and wellness entrepreneurs, and she does content and brand deals for companies like Nike. She even does TV appearances on shows like Dr. Oz. Okay, so if we just look at her portfolio, you can see she has all of these different things going on. She's doing books. She's a contributor to other magazines. She's working with brands and doing TV appearances, but it's all under the same banner and mission of wellness and helping people to live amazing, feel good lives. Okay. The last piece of the evaluation process is to rewrite your job description. So where do you have written or unwritten job descriptions in your life and career? Identify those places, and then I want you to rewrite those job descriptions. Step four is to reorganize your portfolio. What should be in your portfolio? What are your work or other career activities? Are your mission aligned activities in your portfolio? Are your volunteer projects or other professional organizations and associations a part of your portfolio? And are all of these things aligned to your mission? Step four is to reorganize your portfolio. So relook at everything that's in there and make sure that it is aligned to your mission. So the items that you're doing that are related to work and your career, if you're a part of professional associations and organizations, if you are starting, building, growing, scaling a business, if you are volunteering for people, working with, is everything you're doing aligned to your bigger mission and purpose so that you have a really strong brand around what you intend to create in the world? And if it's not, then it's time to make some tough decisions about what you need to let go of. So I want you to ask yourself, what is your highest and best use? Are the things that are in your portfolio aligned with your highest and best use? And then again, reevaluate, what do you need to let go of? So this is a guide for you to be able to know where to say no in your life. If people are asking you if you could come and sit on a board for an organization that teaches kids in Europe how to play drums, if that's not aligned with your bigger personal mission and brand, then it's not something that you should be saying yes to. And I know that it feels like such a huge compliment and honor when people are asking you to be a part of committees and boards and take on these different initiatives. But if it's not fully aligned with what that mission is, then I want to invite you to just politely say, no, thank you, that it's just not aligned with what your focus and goals are at the moment. Trust me, when you start aligning yourself in this way, you will be able to have much bigger impact at a faster pace. Taking on a bunch of activities, projects, volunteer work just to appease people is a way of living your life in quicksand, going nowhere fast, and slowly sinking. Step five is to manage the portfolio with focus days. So we've done a couple episodes on the Daily Success Show where I teach you all about focus days. You can check out episodes 7 on creating a weekly routine that includes self-care, along with episode 11 on how to stay productive working from home, where I break down the concept of focus days. The big idea is that focus days are when you determine certain days of the week where you will spend time on specific activities. This is a principle that my mentor taught me many years ago. For example, you might decide that Mondays are make money Mondays, and so you're doing activities that are generating income. Maybe Tuesday is a day that you focus on content. If writing or posting content is a part of your mission and brand and the work that you're doing in the world. Maybe Thursdays is the day that you work on your professional organization or association board work that you have committed to do. The idea is that you have certain days of the week that you're executing certain tasks to make sure that nothing that you're responsible for delivering goes unattended. You might even have Financial Fridays as a day where you do your personal finance and budgeting. Okay, you get it? So the thing is, you don't need to spend all day working on these focus activities, but you're going to set up at least an hour, 30 minutes, hour and a half block, whatever you have available to make sure that you move the meter in this area of your life. Okay, so let's review the 5 steps to creating your portfolio career. Step 1 is to make a list of everything you're already involved in and then add any things that you want to be doing that you have not yet allocated resources to. Step 2 is to align your portfolio to a bigger mission or purpose. And that includes knowing or writing out your personal mission statement. Step 3 is to evaluate. Figure out where people have experienced you at your best and look at the underperforming, high performing, and assets in your portfolio that need investment. Step 4 is to reorganize your portfolio to make sure everything that you're committed to is aligned with that mission or purpose that is bigger than you and the activities that are a part of your personal highest and best use. And step 5 is to manage the portfolio with focus days. So if you found today's episode helpful, then I want to invite you to leave Daily Success Show a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I love hearing from listeners. So send me an email to hello@dailysuccessroutine.com and let me know exactly what you thought of today's episode and what you're going to do to create your own portfolio career. Hey, we don't have to wait until the next episode to hang out. So the next time you're on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook, type Jamila Payne or Daily Success Routine into the search bar and you'll find more great tips, inspiration, and ideas to help you get organized, productive, and live your dream life.
Daily success, live a week ahead, be excellent, make money moves, achieve your goals, transform your life, one routine at a time. Daily success, go and get yours. You better go get yours. Daily success, daily success. You better go get yours. Daily success, daily success, daily success.